Good morning. Welcome to worship today. We're glad you're here and hopefully you're well. I know there's plenty of stuff going around to keep folks home today, but we're glad that you're here. I feel like I'm booming, Chip. Can we bring me down just a little? Okay. Do want to make sure that you know that we have a funeral today at 3 o'clock. Steve Curry passed away on Thursday afternoon. The visitation will be here from 1:45 to 2:45, followed by the funeral at 3 o'clock. So hope that many of you can join us for that. We also need to have a brief called council meeting for all members of council who are able to stay after worship. Let's just meet right here, because if you walk through the fellowship hall this morning, you notice that we don't have heat in there. And we need to decide what we're going to do about that. Thanks to the folks who have been working on the heat. Thanks to the folks who I didn't encounter this week, but who I know were here, the little elves who came and cleared the sidewalks and made sure that things were safe for us to get in the building this morning. We do appreciate that ministry. I'll let you check the announcements in the bulletin. I think most of those are ones we've touched on before, so I won't highlight them again. Are there other announcements we should be aware of this morning? We're working on a punch card system with the orthopedists in town that we're hoping like we can get some kind of deal where every 10th knee surgery in the congregation is free. So far, that hasn't panned out, but I keep raising it. But Dean had a knee replacement this week, and Neil had a knee surgery this week, and both of those went well, and they're back home. I know we've got a few prayer shawls this morning.
All of these are for the family. The Curry family. So if you would, please bless all these.
We wish happy birthday this week to Angie, Burnett, Judy, Wayne, Betty, Jennifer, Sarah, and Adair. It's a big week for birthdays. Did we miss anybody we ought to add to that list? Happy anniversary this week to Bill and Betty Roberts and Kevin and Anissa Stewart. I won't put a number on Kevin and Anissa, but I believe Bill and Betty are at 74 years today or tomorrow. It's sometime soon. Today, Caroline is telling me, so we certainly celebrate with them. If you get a chance to drop them a card or give them a call, that would be wonderful. Anybody we ought to add to this list? Let's pray for all these folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
lest I neglect something I ought to have told you. The audit for all of our church finances are next Sunday afternoon, the 28th, at the office complex. Here is the schedule for those. So if you are a treasurer for one of these, there's about 12 of you, different funds. Your time slot's the same as last year, but if you don't remember, here it is. Grab one of these if you need it. Take it with you. If there's a problem with this, the audit committee is always really good about arranging changes. Just let somebody know, but that's that schedule. We stand now as we begin our worship on page 94 in the front of your book. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done or by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy.
for the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Lord God, heaven.
Almighty God, by grace alone, you call us and accept us in your service. Strengthen us by your Spirit and make us worthy of your call. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. The children are invited to join me for the children's message. Good morning, everybody. We got a big under 9 crowd today. Good morning. Okay. So, we're going to hear a story in a little while. Some of you will be gone to children's church. Has anybody ever heard of Jonah? You ever heard of Jonah? Okay. Jonah was this guy who got, what do you remember about Jonah? Anything? Oh, he didn't get a rainbow coat. That was Joseph, but you're close. They're both J's. No, Jonah was this guy who God said, hey, I got a plan for you. I want you to come do something. And then Jonah tried to run away, and he ended up in the belly of a big fish. Does that sound familiar? We're going to have to tell that story a little more sometime. But we're going to tell a different part of the story today, okay? Does anybody up here have a brother or a sister?
I'm about to.
You're about to. Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. You have a sister? Yeah. Okay, so most of us actually up here have a brother or a sister or are about to. Yeah. Does everything that your brother or your sister do you like everything that they do all the time? Do you sometimes maybe not get along with your brother or your sister? Well, you guys might all get along all the time, but did you guys know I have a sister?
What?
Actually, that's my sister. Yeah, my sister is here. Sometimes I wasn't always nice to my sister. Her name is Ruth, by the way. Hi, Ruth. Thanks. Sometimes I wasn't always nice to her, and, you know, like, maybe I took some of her toys and broke them and might have thrown them in the woods one time. And one time I might have sort of locked her out of the house, But I wasn't always nice to my sister, and it's good to be nice to your brother and sister, but I was a lot bigger than her, and so whenever I would do something to her, she couldn't really fight back a lot. You know what she would do? She would tell my parents. And why would she tell my parents? Because she wanted me to get in trouble. right? She wanted me to get in trouble for these things that I did to her. And she was probably right. Sometimes I needed to get in trouble. She would be hoping that I'd get in trouble, and so she'd tell my parents. Well, in this story about this guy, Jonah, remember we talked about Jonah a minute ago? There's this city called Nineveh. Can you say Nineveh?
Nineveh.
Nineveh. Yeah, it's sort of a tongue twister, okay? And the people in Nineveh are kind of mean people. They were not very nice to the people of Israel, and they didn't follow God. They were not great people. And so God sends Jonah to the people of Nineveh, and God wants Jonah to say, "You guys, you're being bad. You need to listen to God." Okay? Here's the thing. Jonah didn't want them to listen to God because he wanted God to punish them. Okay? Sort of like sometimes my sister thought that it would be good if my parents would punish me because I was being bad. Jonah really wanted God to punish these people because they'd been mean to Jonah and Jonah's people for a long time. Okay? But when Jonah goes through, and he probably doesn't even do a good job, he's just like, "Hey guys, you should listen to God." It turns out that they do. They change their ways and they follow God and they do what's called repenting, which means they try to be better people and listen to God. And so what does God do, do you think? These were mean people, remember. Do you think God punishes them like Jonah wants?
No.
I'll tell you. God says, "You know what? If you're going to change your ways, I'm going to forgive you and I'm going to love you. Even though you've been mean people, I'm going to love you anyway." And Jonah was not happy about this. Jonah pouted and he pitched a fit and he cried and he said, "God, they were mean to me. I want you to punish them." But God says, "No, these are, even though they were people who were mean to you, these are people who I also love, and I'm going to forgive them and care for them and love them too." Which is kind of hard sometimes. Did you know that even people at school who might be mean to you, people at school or on your sports teams, people who don't treat you nice, God still loves them? Can you believe that? God still loves them because God just doesn't love us when we're good. God loves us because God made us and God cares for us no matter what. Even sometimes the mean people. And so what's really hard for us is we have to do our best to try to love and care for people even when they're not nice to us. And that's hard, right? That's hard, but that's the people that we're called to be. So I want you guys to remember, even people who are not nice to you, even when people are being mean to you, that those are God's precious children and God loves them too, so we have to try to love them too even when it's hard. Can you guys try that? You got parents out here who are going to help you with that as you grow up. But for today, I think we've done enough. While the candle's still standing, we're going to pray. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for loving us. Help us to love other people, even when it's hard. Amen. Okay, great job. So I see over here, Children's Church is going to be going that way. Children's Church, we know, is usually for people who are 4 years old up to about 7 or 8 years old. And otherwise, we got nursery, too.
For the third Sunday after Epiphany is from the third chapter of Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk. And he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on a sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today is Psalm 62, and it will be read responsively by whole verse. For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from Him. On God rests my deliverance and my honor. My mighty rock, my refuge is in God.
Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is the refuge for us.
Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God.
And steadfast love belongs to you, Lord, for you repay to all according to their work.
The second reading is from the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I mean, brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. The word of the Lord.
According to Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
I'm noticing that what we have on the screen is not correct, so you all just put on your listening ears and you can listen to me. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Jesus comes on the scene here in Galilee at the very beginning of his ministry, and he says, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near." Does anybody have trouble with that one? Anybody look around and say, "I don't know, this doesn't look like the kingdom to me"? If you do struggle with it, you're in good company, I think. The early church struggled with this too. Struggled with the fact that they thought that the kingdom in its fullness was imminent, that any day now Jesus would return in glory. But after the ascension of the resurrected Jesus and the arrival of the Holy Spirit, well, things just didn't all start happening as fast as the first followers of Jesus were expecting them to. Actually, that's part of the reason that the Gospels didn't get written down until decades after the death and resurrection of Jesus. People were just figuring that they didn't need to go to all the trouble and expense to get hold of ink and paper and write things down, since the return of Jesus was so immediate and imminent. But then, as the eyewitnesses started to die off, well, then it became apparent that somebody needed to start collecting these verbal accounts and preserve them for a wider audience. It was only then that they started to realize that this might take longer than we thought. So if the early church struggled with this timeline, with understanding the nearness of the kingdom of God, what do we make of it? What are we supposed to do? I mean, Jesus was saying here that the time is fulfilled, but that's been over 2,000 years ago already. How do we make sense of that? Perhaps what we need is to look at things from a different perspective, because perspective can make an awful lot of difference. So we got a picture, Chip, if you can put that up for us, that I want to look at. So this picture, I want to ask you what you see right off the bat immediately. Raise your hand if you would if you see a young woman, a young girl. That's what I usually see immediately. Raise your hand if what you see is an old woman. Okay, fewer people, but immediately some of us see an old woman. Yeah, so let me come out here where I can see. If you see the young woman, then what you see is her ear here, and she's looking away. This is her nose and her chin, and then she's got on a choker necklace right here. If what you see instead of an ear here is an eye, then this becomes a mouth and the outline of a nose here. Are you able to switch back and forth? It's hard to see them both. How you react to the drawing, though, has something to do with your perspective and what you know about the picture. Thank you, Chip. When it comes to the timeline of the kingdom of God, I think a perspective change can be equally impactful here. So it's important to know that when Jesus says that the time is fulfilled, he's not necessarily talking about the kind of time that you can measure with a stopwatch or a calendar. What he's talking about is more like the opportune time, the time when things are ripe. And it's actually in Greek a different word for the time that you keep with a watch. And when Jesus talks about fullness, the word here could also be translated as completeness, perfection, fulfillment. But what's really odd is that in Mark's gospel, we only have Jesus recorded using this word for fullness one other time. It's here at the beginning of his ministry in Galilee, and then the one other time is at the very end of things, Gethsemane, when the disciples have repeatedly fallen asleep on Jesus, when Judas has just betrayed him with a kiss. In the midst of all this, the middle of everything seeming to fall apart, Jesus uses this word again about his arrest when he says, "Let the scriptures be fulfilled." And you know, I bet that the arrest of Jesus and his betrayal didn't look much like the kingdom of heaven to the disciples. But fulfillment for Jesus looks different than the fulfillment we might expect. Because for Jesus, fulfillment looks like the cross. That's fulfillment. That's perfection of power and weakness. That's the act of love that destroys the final power of death forever. And wow, if God can use gruesome torture and death for perfection and fulfillment, that's a drastic change of perspective, isn't it? When Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee, the very first thing he tells people to do is to repent. That's what the folks in Nineveh did, right? Repent. In Greek, the word, though, is metanoia, and it means to change. Not only to change the way that we see things, but to change our very selves, to be transformed. Metanoia is the same word, the same root that the science word metamorphosis comes from. So if you remember back to your school days, metamorphosis is when the caterpillar is completely transformed into a butterfly, right? To change so completely. That's the word that Jesus uses when he shows up on the scene and calls to repent. It's a call to put God and the good news of God's reign at the very center of our lives, which means that our task then is to weigh the decisions and the priorities, the actions of our lives, not so much by asking what would Jesus do, because frankly we know what Jesus would do, but to weigh them in light of the question, what has God already done for us in the life, in the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What has God already done for us? Gone to the cross, the grave, and back for our sakes. So if that's the question that we're asking, what has God done for us, then our task becomes about responding with thanks and praise to God's immense love that, surprisingly, is shown forth most clearly, is fulfilled on the cross. That's the perspective I think we have to bring to this question of timelines and fulfillment. These first disciples that we just heard were called by Jesus. They were able to leave their livelihoods, their nets, even their family in the boat, right? They left their father in the boat and they followed Jesus immediately. Somehow they had this kind of right perspective, whether it was a special movement of the Holy Spirit or a result of their pious upbringing, some prior knowledge of Jesus. We don't know, but we do know that these fishermen had the kind of perspective that let them realize that what was of ultimate importance was not what they were doing, but what God was doing. They heard Jesus and they followed. My prayer for this congregation, for myself, for the world, is that we would help each other to have this kind of clarity and focus, that our perspective would be one centered on God's love, revealed most fully and most perfectly at the cross, that we might follow Jesus with thankful hearts. And as we wait for the time when God's victory over sin and death is made fully visible, we proclaim that here and now, God is here. God is at work. It likely will be the case that things don't always look immediately, apparently, like the kingdom. It will likely be the case that there's continued hardship and pain for us. There certainly was for Jesus and those who followed him. But the promise of the gospel is that God is with us precisely in the hardship, right? That God is revealed precisely there on the cross in hardship and pain. That the one who made us and calls us also loves us and walks with us. The same one whose purpose is revealed and fulfilled most perfectly and completely in the total mess of betrayal and abandonment, the journey to the cross, that God walks with us. So the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us confess what we believe by use of the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105 in the front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
And our salvation hears us when we pray. Let us offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. We pray, Lord, for the church in all its forms, for unity in Christ, and for all those who proclaim the good news in word and deed, that all trust that the kingdom of God has come near. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for public defenders and district attorneys, for law enforcement, for the armed forces and international peace organizations. We pray for all public leaders, that those in authority work for the well-being of all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for the poor and the oppressed. We pray for the sick and the bereaved, and for all people in need, especially Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Jana, Madeline, Barbara, Bill and Betty, the family of Steve, and all those we name now. Dorothy. We ask, Lord, that your power and compassion will be visible to those who need care and those who provide care. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for this congregation and its ministries, for visitors with us, for students who are returning to school, that your Holy Spirit will guide us in all endeavors. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, you hear our prayers even before we speak them. Receive them for the sake of the one through whom you have revealed your goodness, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace. Thank you.
Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Mercy on us.
stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. I should start at the beginning. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship.
In peace, serve the Lord.